back to On Point with Alex Pearson on Global News Radio.
It's going to end up perhaps at the highest court in the land. We'll see. But we think there'll be a lot of litigation because we can't have an election stolen like this.
Well, there's Donald Trump, and it's a big allegation. No evidence yet presented, and maybe there will be, but putting the president's inflammatory comments aside, he does have the right to challenge the results, especially given the razor-thin margins in some of these races. I mean, you look at Georgia, it's like 5 million votes, maybe 1,500, 2,000 votes separating them. And so Biden's ahead by a couple of thousand, and he may come out tonight, Biden, and declare himself the winner. I do not know what he'll say, but Trump seems to want the courts to decide this whole thing, and I'm not sure they can. Jack Siegel is partner at Blaney and McMurtry. He joins us now. Good to have you.
Good to be here. Thanks for inviting me on.
Well, you know, we're into this. I don't know where we are. We're right in the middle of this chaotic kind of no man's land of the political world. I mean, Georgia and Pennsylvania have now dismissed a couple of challenges by Trump. And then you've got other areas and jurisdictions. I've actually lost count of how many, Trump lawsuits have been filed. But I'm not sure at the end of this that the courts are going to go in Trump's favor. He says this will get to the Supreme Court. But this, why would this be different than, let's say, the hanging Chad of 2000?
It's not particularly different in terms of you raise everything you can and throw it at the wall and see what sticks. And that's clearly what his lawyers are doing, and that's probably the best strategy to adopt at this point. But you need evidence if you're going to want to prove something in court. They don't just take one's word for it. I heard a report earlier today that a Trump lawyer was insisting that there were no observers on behalf of their campaign in a count, I think it was in Philadelphia, and the judge pressed, and the lawyer finally conceded, well, the number wasn't zero. So if that's the nature and strength of the kind of case they're going to present, it's not going to get very far. But I think anybody who follows this stuff has got to be concerned about what happened at the Supreme Court of the United States in 2000 with Bush versus Gore, and whether or not that has the potential to somehow repeat this time. I think the chances of that are way, way down.
It is 2020, Jack. Come on. Anything can happen in 2020. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's democracy. We don't want courts choosing and deciding on things like elections. It takes us into, I think, a dangerous territory.
I couldn't agree with you more. But we do need somebody to be wearing the striped shirt.
Yes.
There has to be a means of resolving disputes. In Canada, we typically have a few recounts after a general election. Of course, we're electing a different person in every riding, or the Americans would see as a congressional district. And so we've got a lot of races, as do they. We have paper ballots for federal and provincial elections, at least in Ontario. And I think most provinces have stuck to paper, as far as I know. And it's one thing to do away with paper, and it's something quite else again to switch to online voting or tabulators, because that's going to be harder to demonstrate with proof of what's in the box. What were people's intentions?
Well, if this election doesn't prove anything, old-fashioned paper and pencil, we should just stick with that.
I'm a strong advocate of doing everything possible by way of technology to make it easier to vote, more accessible to vote, as long as there is an absolutely incontrovertible record of what a voter's intention was. And there's no better way of doing that than with a paper ballot. A machine can read it, a machine can count it, and if the spread between two candidates is half a dozen votes, then let's go look at the ballots and make sure that it read everything okay, because there is an error rate.
What is the deadline as far as you are concerned? Obviously before Inauguration Day, but what is the deadline? How long can this thing be challenged?
It can go on, I guess, for about a month, maybe a little more. It varies. Here's the thing that makes it just so difficult to follow from perspective of a Canadian lawyer, every state has its own election laws and follow them for the national election. So some states require a certified result by the middle of next week. Others give as much as a week more. Then there's a two-day period in the ones that I've heard mention of, probably the battleground states that we've been fixated on for the last couple of days, where you have got 48 hours after certification of the vote to bring your application to court before it becomes final. So there's a narrow window there, and then the case has to be litigated.
And how do you know when you're... And sorry, just so I step on you a little bit, how do you know then that that evidence per se would be protected? I mean, obviously, if you know you're going to be challenged, who's in there watching to make sure that nothing's being dumped out or burned or shredded?
In the American model, I expect that there are going to be people gathered around the outside of these buildings watching who comes and goes, and Lord only knows. In Canada, the ballot boxes are all sealed, and they are in the custody of neutral chief electoral officers or chief returning officers in the various ridings. And they're committed to neutrality here. In the U.S., in at least a number of states, the people running the elections at a county level are partisans. I was in New York State during the last presidential election. In a county where our group was hosted by the county commissioners of elections, one of whom was the Democratic committee chairman for the county, and the other was the Republican committee chairman for the county. So they do it by a bipartisan approach, which is quite different.
Well, it is, and hence the distrust of where you say we're being cheated. I mean, there's all sorts of allegations over Michigan and ballots being spoiled and fed in. I mean, and there is the problem, is that they don't have a system like ours where it's a federal system. There's like one set of rules. You've got people in there that have a vested interest in their guy or gal winning. And so creates huge problems with, I guess, conflict of interest. Quickly before I let you go, I mean, the president has called this election illegal. I mean, he's delegitimized it. What if he doesn't leave?
There's nothing that requires the inauguration to take place in the White House. Typically, it doesn't. The levers of power are going to move with the oath of office, I would think. The question will be whether he goes quietly or whether they follow the model established by George Washington centuries ago of ensuring a peaceful transfer of power.
We will see, I guess. It is, as I said, 2020, but boy, oh boy. All right, we'll see what...
another surprise around the corner.
Of course there is. It's only November. All right, we will wait and see what Mr. Biden says tonight and see what the next 48, 72 hours will bring us. I appreciate your insight into this.
My pleasure.